Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dreams Unlimited Travel Podcast. My name is John Magi, and I will be your host. And in this episode, Tracy is going to tell us all about her experience on Royal Caribbean Cruise Line's newest ship, Symphony of the Seas. I'm joined at the table by our panel of experts, Client Services Manager for Dreams Unlimited Travel, Kevin Kloos.
Ahoy, matey.
Agent Consultant for Dreams Unlimited Travel, Tracy Heinrichs.
Hi.
Oh, you're boring.
I could not have followed that.
And I'm giving time to Craig so he can come with something really goofy to do. And our producer, Craig Williams.
I got nothing.
Oh, man. Kevin, you were all along in your ahoys.
My creativity.
Really. So as I mentioned, Tracy had a chance to go on Symphony of the Seas. This is Royal Caribbean Cruise Line's newest ship. It's actually part of the Oasis class of ships. It's the fourth Oasis ship, I believe.
There's the Allure, the Oasis,
the Harmony.
The Harmony and the Symphony.
Okay. I had the information in front of me and I'm right, but I was waiting for you guys to do the gazintas in your head and try to count them. I knew I was right.
It felt like a trap.
It was a trap.
I was gonna say, did you know you were being tested?
So what I'm really excited about is that this is the newest ship in the class of ship I like the most. I love the Oasis class of ships. I think they're great. They have,
you know, now we're questioning everything you say. To see,
I know
that.
You are.
Does he love the Oasis?
Is it just a trick? So very excited that there's a new one out. Very excited that I believe for the most part it's out of going to the Caribbean, so accessible to us. Another cruise ship we can go on fairly easily. But also, in following you on social media, you posted some pretty cool stuff.
I did.
That we're very, very excited to
hear about. You posted some seafood pictures, and that's mm-hmm. what we talked about one after.
Yeah.
Really. So, I just want to real quick, Symphony of the Seas is pretty much the same as the other Oasis-class ships, size-wise.
It's bigger.
Well, is it because there's an extra weld?
No, they've actually made this one bigger. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but they actually made it bigger, and there's areas where it's noticeable. One area I heard that they really added extra space was the boardwalk area, and I would say it seemed like it was bigger. I know they extended something there to add more staterooms. I know there's people out there who are a lot more up on the actual facts of this.
It's 1,188 feet long, so I don't know what that is compared to the other ones.
But there is a difference in size, and this one wasn't just to be a token.
Is this based out of Miami?
It is based out of Miami, yeah.
So basic design, there's a boardwalk, there's the promenade, there's all the same
similar
stuff, but just a little bit bigger.
Yep.
So tell us, let's not go through like exactly what it has. Let's talk about differences, because I think we've done a ship. I think we've done a show on both the Oasis and the Allure.
I think so, too.
I think somewhere in our
past.
And
I'm sure we would have done something on the Harmony when we did the preview cruise on the Harmony.
Yeah, on the Harmony as well,
So this, again, was a preview cruise. So I had two nights, basically 36 hours almost, when you think about it, because you get on midday and it was a later boarding because the cruise we were on, is they were christening it that evening. So there's a lot of media on board. There's a lot of executives on board. There's a lot going on. So we got on, you know, around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We stay that night. You got all the next day. You're in Nassau. And then the next morning, you're off again. I've previously done these. You guys have been on a couple preview mm-hmm. cruises with us. Usually we have Corey and Craig. And I realized that when you're the only person, it's a lot.
A lot of pressure, right?
It was a lot of pressure. And I had Chris with me.
And no one else was taking pictures.
Right. And let's just say Chris is not as quick as maybe Corey and Craig are. Okay, we got to go here. We got to go here. We got to go here. Because Corey and Craig are very worried about making sure they have, you know, some time to have some drinks.
Yeah, well, let's just not beat around the bush.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to find a polite word for it.
They work hard and then they play hard. Yeah.
Right.
So
does he sound like Kathleen Turner? It's just me.
A little sexy.
Yeah.
So Chris was not as fast and not as drunk. It's right, pretty much right. What you're telling us.
It was so like
they don't usually go together
on these preview cruises. Everything is just open bar. Everything is free. Chris was very disappointing as far as Craig and Corey standards go because he had three drinks the entire cruise.
Oh no.
So. But, I mean, we are not the same dynamic duo as these two are trying to get information. So we were just trying to do what we can. And every time I took a picture, I thought, oh, man, Craig's not going to like this one. So we were trying to focus on what's different, you know, making sure we did as many of the stateroom, you know, tours as we could, and just really trying to concentrate on the differences. So I had done some research before we sailed, what's different on this ship than some of the others. And that was really our focus. So one of the first things I want to say is what was different for me before we even got on board was I used the new app. I downloaded the app, and they've had an app for a while, but they've updated it considerably. And I don't,
it usually doesn't work till you get to the ship.
Right. With this new app, what happens is it's not on every ship yet, but it's on a lot of them, not just the Oasis class. It's available on all of them. And when you go to the app store or wherever you go for that other phone company, not Apple, Google Play or wherever it is.
Just stop.
The app will tell you what ships are currently being supported, and they're adding more all the time. So what happened with this is we were able to do our online check-in from the app and the phone. You're able to scan your passports in, so they get added. You're able to scan your credit card information in. We were able to take pictures of ourselves to add, so that didn't even have to be done when we got to the terminal. So everything was done ahead of time. There was nothing to print. Our set sail pass was on our phone. So when we got to the terminal, this is the new, I think they're called, what are they calling it? The Crown of Miami. It's the brand new terminal in Miami for the Oasis class ships. So we have Symphony going out of there, and I can't remember which one they're using right now. They're moving some in and out.
I think it's the Harmony.
It could be. This terminal is pretty incredible. First of all, the way the parking structure works, you know, parking at a cruise is not easy.
No.
What they've done is they've built a massive parking garage kind of adjacent or across from the terminal. So when you park in the garage, there was, you know, it reminded me of the Disney Springs parking garage a little bit, where you've got the elevators in the central area and accessible spots near there. And then the parking went up several levels. And then once you come down the elevator, you come down right up the escalator, you're at the terminal. So it's not like a 2-block walk from where the parking is. Right. It was all right there.
And the other terminal in Miami, you had to cross the street.
I was just going to say, like 4 lanes of traffic.
Right.
This is all, that's, you know, smart. You're down the elevator and you're at the terminal. You go in, you go up. This seemed like a massive escalator, and you're in the main part of the terminal, which was just massive. It was beautiful. It was bright.
We haven't done this yet.
No, we have not.
Yeah, brand new. I think they were pushing to have it open for when the Symphony had come to Miami. When you walked into the terminal, there were the traditional lines, but then there were all of these, it was almost like ropes, or you know what Disney uses for the queues. Mm-hmm. And you'd walk, there were several Royal Caribbean employees standing there, and you would just walk up to these tiny little short lines, and we walked up to just whoever was available. You show them your set sail pass in the app, you open it up in the app, they scan it. Oh, yep, you're good to go. And off you go. You're on board. They verify that you have everything in there.
Oh, and that's awesome.
It was so seamless.
Wow. That's
from the
great
time we pulled into the parking garage, found our spot, got into the terminal, scanned, and we're boarding the ship, we're talking 20 minutes.
Wow.
It was just seamless. They just verified everything they had, and they each had like iPads that they were scanning and verifying with.
I'm sure one of the things they probably did was looked at your picture.
Yep.
Make sure it matched.
Yep.
And you take a picture of somebody else.
I think we probably showed them our passports as well to make sure that it matched the information that we had entered. And then we were on board. And then, like with the other Oasis class ships, when you get to your room, there's a little envelope outside that has one room key in it. And then inside is the other room key for the other person.
Did they do the wave band or whatever they did the last time?
They do. Our rep had upgraded us to a junior suite, so we got them included. And I don't know if everybody on this sailing would have anyway. Typically, you're buying those if you want them. And they work similar to the magic band. It's a little lighter and a little more flexible, but you can use it around the ship like you would use your
card. Preview cruise we were on, they gave it to everybody because they wanted you to experience it.
Yeah.
But I didn't. It's not one of those things I thought added anything to our trip.
Chris used his all the time. For me, I carry a cell phone with a card slot in it, and it's just as easy for me to have my card there. I'd rather that than wearing something on my arm.
I am on your side.
Yeah.
Again, mark that 10.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. What do you think about, so you got a chance to see other staterooms in your stateroom.
Yes.
Any significant difference in the staterooms?
I think, first of all, this is the first time I was in a junior suite. And that's an interesting category for us.
It is.
We were like, huh. because it's somewhere in between. And for us, it usually comes down to dollars. You still get access to
Coastal Kitchen.
Coastal Kitchen, thank you. For dinner only. Yeah, it's dinner only, yep. And it's by reservation and availability, but you still get access to Coastal Kitchen for dinner at least.
Did you find that worthwhile?
On this cruise, it's not open. It's not accessible. Right. So all the specialty restaurants and stuff, they don't open. But we did do Coastal Kitchen one night with our sales rep. And that area is now larger than when the last time I did it was on the Oasis. Remember when I was star class and I had the better suite than you? That sailing.
Tracy's like the girl who peaked in high school.
That's true.
Absolutely. When I was a cheerleader.
Yeah. That Oasis sailing is like the only time I will ever, ever be better than you two on a cruise. So I'm going to live it forever.
Do you want to come to my stateroom and have my butler wait on you?
So anyways, that's the last time I was in Coastal Kitchen.
And we find that a huge value.
Huge value. But they've expanded the space on this ship. I felt like it was bigger. They rearranged it a little bit to where the concierge lounge, because you know it shares the space. Mm-hmm. The concierge lounge was off to the other side. Seemed more expansive. Where they had the food set up was off into a little – it seemed like the space made more sense.
This was the first – I mean, Coastal Kitchen came out after the Oasis and the Aurora were already sailing.
So this is the space was built for it.
Right.
And you could tell.
The Harmony was built for it too, but I think
they learned something.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've only been on the Harmony for a couple of days.
We just did that two-day preview on the Harmony.
And I don't remember – eating there, but I can't – I know I've been on the Oasis and the Allure, and – this used to be the Viking Crown Lounge that they've turned into the concierge lounge and Coastal Kitchen. So they took existing space.
Again, for folks who don't know what we're talking about, this is for suite guests only. It's a suite perk. But because you booked the junior suite, which is much less expensive than the other suites, you have access to this
Coastal Kitchen.
Again, limited because other people can get
other suites have breakfast and lunch.
Yes, that's right.
And for the most part, you can walk in.
Right.
And just do whatever you want.
When you're in these other suites, you can. So you're asking me about staterooms and change. Yeah. For the most part, very similar. Again, with the muted tones and colors, I really like it. I think it looks more classy.
Home-like, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a trend in cruising, too.
Become less
neon.
Vegas. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, exactly. The one of the biggest differences on here is they have the ultimate family suite. On this ship.
Oh, is that the one with the slide?
Yes. This was something to see. This thing is two levels, over 1,300 square feet in total. It sleeps eight. When you first walk in on the main floor, I don't know how many bathrooms. There had to be two or three bathrooms in there. But when you walk in on the main floor, you've got a big kitchen table that can seat eight, a rectangular table. But you can flip it, and it's a ping pong. There was... something else in there going on, another type of sport or
table game,
air hockey. Thank you. Oh my God. So that they have that in there. They have two big screens in that room. So one is over here where you would watch TV, and then off in the corner, you could pull a curtain around, massive screen. It had to be 85-inch screen TV in there with every game system you can imagine, with games for the kids. It had a Lego wall. And Legos. So the whole wall was those Lego pieces, and you could just build right on the wall. It had a magnetic wall. In that section, it had a popcorn maker and a place you could, you know, all decked. I know when Ben was younger, he would not have left that room. I mean, that's where he would have lived. So then you go upstairs, and there's a slide going from upstairs to downstairs. Mm-hmm. All kinds of cool features, lots of TVs throughout. Out on the patio, on the deck, there was a full-size whirlpool, like jacuzzi tub.
Veranda,
thank you. There was also a mini rock climbing structure out there.
Was there also like a weird rope climbing thing out there too, which I thought that seems dangerous.
Yeah, it's far enough back, but I mean the whole
outside
space,
on the veranda.
Yeah,
that sounds dangerous.
The whole thing was just mind boggling.
We've seen pictures of it. We've seen video of it. It looks incredible.
All the way at the aft, all the way at the fore?
But it was up high.
I think some of them are overlooking the back pool. There's only one.
There's one.
Okay. I thought it was overlooking the back.
Because we liked your suite. However, it was in a different time zone from the rest of the ship.
Yeah. When yeah, you have my two-bedroom aqua theater? Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's the...
We saw so many.
So that's the one difference on this ship is that suite, but they still have the family suites,
the aqua suites, the spa suites,
the ones that you can make for five people and stuff. So, what's nice about it is that
I don't really need to know a location.
No, I'm going to find out exact location for you right now.
You're gonna tell
can't
us.
Live with not knowing something. Deck 17.
Yeah.
Deck 17. Yeah, it's
in the middle.
3D center. No, come on now.
No, I think it's going to be back where the loft suites were that overlook the flow rider.
Yeah, and I think it has a full wrap.
What was the number of the room?
1733, actually. I just saw it.
I wanted to find something she didn't know.
But let me tell you, I tried to look it up to get an idea of price for a family of four. I looked at this suite all the way into 2021, every single sailing, and it's not available.
I'm going to tell you something. I've got some pricing to talk about later in the show. In suites in general, I told Kevin, I look for suites for us until April or May of next year. Every suite category is booked.
Yeah, this Ultimate Family Suite, they're telling us that like if you were to put eight in it, two adults and some kids, or four adults and four kids, you're looking at about $50,000 start. We were told during the tour that the Christmas sailing this year, it was just under $90,000.
Oh, dear, my God.
And that's crazy. Full. And you have to think about when you're making deposits on suites with Royal Caribbean, you're paying non-refundable deposits.
Yeah, for a suite.
So these aren't people just thinking about it. These are people who have committed to some money.
Do they invent a new class above Star? Is it like...
No, this is Star.
Constellation? Because, I mean, that's a lot of money.
But it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's neat.
It was really neat.
But again, I think, in general, Royal Caribbean, this class of ship, has really great suite staterooms. In general, I feel are priced well.
Right.
When you price these against Disney, I mean, I think these are really in a nice sweet spot for families.
The other issue I found when we were touring the suites is that a lot of them are two stories. They have a lot of two-story
suites.
Those
loft suites, yeah.
Yep.
We stayed in one, and it didn't work for John and I.
Yeah.
We actually stayed in one that had an elevator. Mm-hmm. That's a really nice word for it. It's a dumbwaiter that moves. But... It was very awkward.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, I can see for a family because it had a full bathroom downstairs.
Yeah.
With shower and everything downstairs. So that made it easier for the kids to sleep downstairs and the parents to be upstairs.
I could definitely see. I think for two people, you would spend more time. I have a problem on Disney with the split bathroom. Oh, man, I needed that. And it's in that room over there. Right. This would be separate
floors.
Will
you throw this over the edge?
Exactly.
So when you went to look at the other class of staterooms, were they similar to the ones on Oasis and Alora?
Very similar. Like there were very subtle differences in layouts and sizes. But for the most part, they're pretty well on par with what they're doing. I think we're going to see more of these Ultimate Family Suites. I think Oasis is going to be getting a redo soon. I think on future ships coming forward when they see how this one is doing.
Especially if they're getting $90,000 for it.
I think they're it was pretty incredible.
Okay, let's talk about the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. What's the difference on the boardwalk? What did you see that was different?
It was just bigger. So that was the first thing I noticed. They changed the venues a little bit. So, across from Johnny Rockets, it can be different things. And the thing on one, it's like a...
It was a Mexican restaurant.
I heard that
one is a seafood.
They were going to put a Jimmy Buffett restaurant in Margaritaville.
No, it's not Jimmy Buffett. It's not that. What it is it's a pub. What was it called again? Playmakers, Sports Bar and Arcade.
Oh, that's so a nice
it's
place
got,
for it.
Yeah, it's got... whole big screen TVs, lots of games playing, pub type food. This would all be an extra charge. But wings and burgers. And we didn't try anything there, but everything coming out of there looked amazing.
I got to tell you, those are things that I think are missing on most ships.
Yes, I agree. They also, as part of that, is the arcade. And it was not just a typical, they still have the cruise ship arcade where you go and you play the ticket games. This was different. This was more of what you'd expect to see on a boardwalk type arcade. So that was different.
Is that where the seafood restaurant was?
No, the seafood restaurant was more, it was inside the ship. Like it wasn't in a neighborhood.
What was different about the Central Park?
I don't think anything. The biggest difference, very important for us, Central Park Cafe is bigger.
Oh, that's good.
Bigger. It was amazing.
Smart.
So
again, learn.
Yeah, and they made the line seem to make more sense. They had more pre-made items were to grab and go if you wanted to. Much more seating indoors and outdoors. They really opened up that space.
That's good.
No Tiffany's on this ship. It was a...
Is it a Bulgari?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was a Bulgari.
This one has Jamie Oliver's Italian.
Oh, that was on... we did, I think, the preview cruise of the Anthem, and that had Jamie Oliver's Cucina on it. We didn't get to go there because it was a preview cruise. Has that taken the place of Giovanni's Table?
Yes. Yeah, it's Jamie Oliver's there. So I think for the Central Park area, that was pretty much it. Again, probably a little bit bigger, you know, just, but very similar.
What about the Promenade?
Promenade, I gotta say, it's probably the same, except, you know, they always have the cars. Mm-hmm. This one was a beetle that they had molded into a ball.
I saw your picture of it. It was like it was, you know, crushed in a car crusher or something. It was weird.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be a transformer and do something else. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Okay, do it now.
Yeah. And so, I mean, still the place where you get the pizza and still the...
The little cafe. Promenade cafe.
Yep.
Still Rising Tide.
Yep. And they still have a pub there. They all have a different kind of name, but same idea. They also serve some food items out of there as well.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. Starbucks is still there. Bolero's. So, I mean, for the most part, I think that all was
a jewelry store.
The shops, you know, the typical stuff. They have the area in the center for whatever the deal of the day is and the duty free stuff. So that was all the same. Kate Spade store, I think.
Yeah, that's been on it. So let's talk about, they list their new dining options.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to do all of the new stuff or were you just...
I got to do... None of the specialty stuff was open to us, but what they do is you can go around and during certain times of the day, they were giving samples.
Okay.
So that's how we got to see them for the most part. So this one has Wonderland on it. They have Hooked Seafood. Mm-hmm. That one we were so excited about. We really wish we could have eaten in there. The menu looked incredible.
What excites me is that they listed as New England classics. New England seafood.
Yes. And I had a sample of the lobster roll. And I put some pictures on my social media. They had samples of the food kind of made out for us to take photos of. And the lobster roll was a good size.
I wasn't joking before when I said we looked at your pictures and we talked about it for at least 45 minutes.
I loved the restaurant. I loved how it felt.
Where is it?
I don't know.
Oh, good.
It's on the ship.
The problem is, you know what that's like. You're on there for 2 days.
I know. It's just all a whirlwind. Yeah. But it wasn't in a neighborhood. I know that. I know we get off an elevator and it was
there. Like,
I'm trying to think of what it used to be and I can't. And it's not where the other restaurants are. It's up on a higher.
Is it like where, and Azumi's not in any of the neighborhoods?
Azumi's like off of deck 4 by the casino.
Right.
Yeah,
right. So that place looks incredible. And I would, you know, they do lunch and dinner. They also have happy hour specials where they, certain times of the day, they have things on special. It's different each day.
Do you know if that's a reservation type restaurant or what?
I think it would be for lunch or dinner. I think like the other specialties, I have a feeling you'll be able to walk in as well, like you can for most of them. It looked to be a good size, but really exciting. Like again, you had mentioned what a ship was missing with that sports bar. I feel this is something that a ship is missing.
When I'm on a cruise, every once in a while, cruise food tends to be, I guess the word is fancier than I eat at home most of the time. And there are things like, I would like a burger that I don't have to go to the buffet and like put all together myself. And I always think to myself, every cruise ship should have a place to get wings.
Right.
You know, some nights you don't feel like dinner and just wings.
That was that Viking Ocean Cruise had that pool bar food.
Where you get wings or
wings and a hamburger or hot dog that was really good quality.
Speaking of pool food, what they've done on deck is they've put El Loco Fresh. It's a Mexican street fair type location. Similar to, you know, if it was burgers and hot dogs and stuff like that, you would go up and get it. Oops, knocked my mic. This was fresh tacos, burritos. They were made from scratch. you could take. They had some pre-made, or they would make a fresh one for you.
If you wanted something special.
They had, you know, like nacho chips, and you could add stuff to it. They had a fresh salsa bar where they also had other toppings, and it was good. Like, we only got to do it once. This is somewhere where we would frequent. It was so, and you know how I'm pretty vanilla in my flavors. I really liked it because there was ways Chris could add spice and heat where he wanted it, but I could still have good choices without doing that. I thought the quality of what they were serving out of there, and a nice change from the typical pool grill where you're picking up a burger or a hot dog.
Or pizza,
yeah. So really enjoyed that as well.
From what I can tell from reading through it, there's no new entertainment venues.
Right.
All the entertainment venues are the same.
The venues are the same.
Some might be renamed to mm-hmm. different things. The show on the ship is Hairspray.
It is Hairspray. And what I heard, we didn't do it because there was another show we wanted to see that we hadn't seen before. We saw Hairspray on a different ship. I spoke to people who did Hairspray and had seen it on the other ship and said this was better. It really seemed to me that Royal Caribbean has upped their game on entertainment on this ship. We saw their new show, Flight. I saw in that show, and I don't know if I should spoil it. It's out there. Everyone sees it. But at the end, a plane, like from the Wright brothers, flies over the audience.
Wow.
A plane. Not a picture of a plane, or it was a plane.
What was that ship we went on where that guy had that light-up stick?
Yeah, that was the anthem.
Yeah, this wasn't like that. This show was really good.
So far.
And that scene with the airplane was the coolest thing I have seen done on a ship. And it was pretty incredible. The ice skating show, we did catch that. Our plan was just to catch a few minutes and move on. But it actually grabbed our attention. Every single ice skating show I've seen on the ships, I have no idea what the plot is. I'm lost most of the time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're so weird.
I'm lost most of the time. But it seemed to me like on this one, the talent kind of was – it seemed up a level. You know, like everything just seemed – and I thought this about the entertainment across the board. I really feel like they're up in their game. And they had talked about – I went to a question-answer session, and they talked about whoever they hired who was in charge of entertainment now. And it seems to me like they're making it a focus.
That's good because usually
it's – Cruise ship
entertainment.
I felt what I saw on this ship was superior to what I've seen on other Royal Caribbean ships.
Wow, that's great. Did you visit the casino?
Did we even play? Yeah, we did briefly. Very similar. Smoking, non-smoking section divided by an invisible wall where smoke still gets through.
Exactly.
Bar in the center.
Yeah, I think actually we did do a little bit of slot machines, and we came out a little bit ahead on that, if I recall.
I was just asking if the space is the same.
The space is basically the same. Windjammers, space, basically the same. I always think Windjammers never seems big enough to me for the size of the ship. And I don't know if it's because they have so many other venues. It's
very, very small on departure day.
Yeah.
And when everybody's getting off the ship mm-hmm. for breakfast, mm-hmm. Windjammers gets very tight.
But similar.
Other restaurants, same three-tier.
Yeah, still the same three-tier. We did not do main dining room because there were just other things that we needed. So we went to Coastal Kitchen one night, and we wanted to make sure we tried Windjammers because that's a staple that we normally
do.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you're just kind of doing what you can.
What was sort of the big thing for you when you said, wow, this is really cool that they've done this? What's the big thing that you went?
I think there's the changes in the restaurants. I think adding that Playmakers sports bar, the seafood place, and the Mexican place, those are things like, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I think the wow moment was the Ultimate Family Suite. I think that was a wow. There was a couple other things they've done. They have now, they do laser tag. And they do it in the skating venue during the day, and they have, it's like all these inflatables. So we dropped in just to see how they were doing it. It looked really cool.
Is it on ice?
No,
that would be awesome.
But I could really see families being all over that. That age group that Royal Caribbean targets, it looked really well done. And when we looked over, I thought, isn't an ice skating rink? How exciting could it be? One wow happened to us during the skating show. They've changed the the technology in there. So the floor is almost becoming part of the show. So at one point, the floor looked like ocean with like dolphins or something swimming in it.
Oh, that's cool.
So they've really, I think they've really improved the technology in that. Wow. In that location.
It sounds like maybe another layer.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it was. And I think that's what kind of kept our attention as well. There is an escape room on board. So
was and it that's your state room?
It was not.
Oh. Chris, I can't get out.
It was the bathroom.
Very small escape room.
So that's I think big right now is escape rooms.
Oh yeah.
So they have that. It's kind of in the kids venue area. So I don't know how often it's open to use. If they would kind of keep it to the teens and then open it up to everybody else at other times.
Aqua Theater on the back of the ship.
Aqua Theater still where it was. There is a new show. We didn't get to see it. It was canceled for weather, but still in the same location with the suites going up the back, like what we were in. I made some notes of some things that were different, and I want to make sure I hit them all. There's a hidden piano player. Not a hidden piano player. There's like a He's because when you see him, he's not hidden anymore. But it's a roving piano player, I think they call him. So you would get in an elevator, and there was a piano player, and he would play music, and then you never knew where he'd be and what elevator. So that kind of became a game.
Those elevators aren't big enough anyway.
These seem bigger, and I don't know if it's because we were just recently on a Disney ship, yeah, where the elevators are super small. These seem like very big elevators to me.
Well, you could put a grand piano in one.
It wasn't necessarily a grand.
Oh, was it a grand?
No, it was a portable one. So he'd wheel in and out of different elevators, and he was playing music.
That's funny.
I didn't end up in one. I don't think Chris did. He saw him. But I'm like, it would be awkward if it was just you and the piano. Like, you wouldn't exactly. Make requests. I don't know how that works. But there was a hidden piano staircase. Baby. We found a hidden piano staircase on our way up to Windjammers. We're just walking on the staircase. And we're hearing music. And then we're walking. And it took us a bit to realize, could be because I'm so slow going upstairs, that it took a while for it to sound like a dirge.
A hidden piano staircase.
So the staircase is a piano. So as you step on the keys,
wow.
Think, what was that movie with Tom Hanks?
Big.
So, but you're going up the stairs.
Dun, dun,
so
dun, dun.
You would do it. You'd go up and you'd be making like a tune as you step up. So it was kind of cool. And then I thought, oh, this is so fun. Chris and I went up and down, not at the same, like not like twice in a row or anything, like on different days.
And here's the wind section.
Exactly.
So I'm going to go down and play another song now.
So we're going up making a song. And then this kid comes and his tune was way faster than mine was. But it was amazing. Like it was because it was one of those things that you found. You can't. It's the staircase going up. So the only time you're on it is it's the staircase. Like there's nowhere to sit and look at it.
You could stand around the corner and guess the ages of the
you
people
could.
Going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So there's no sign that said a
nothing.
Piano staircase.
I didn't see it. If there was, it just was a surprise. And then we kind of watched a couple other people, and you could see everybody have the same reaction. Get partway up and realize, wait a minute, and then you'd kind of step. Yeah, this is happening.
This?
Yeah,
I think it was the hidden piano guy playing.
Right. Where is that guy?
No, that's not
so. That was really cool. Again, just a tiny little touch. I thought the artwork that they've done on here, and I didn't get a chance to experience, but I understand they've done some different things with artwork that'll interact with your app. I think there was a secret, you know, I forget what they call it, but like X-ray vision type thing, where if you use your app, and it would show you into the bridge. Like the picture would become the bridge and you would see the captain.
Well, that's cool.
So there was just a lot of hidden. I really would like more time on this ship because I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things to explore and experience on this ship.
This is the future of cruising. You know, cruising
I think
just,
so.
You know, what can they do to up the guy before them and up it and up it and up it? And I think only we're the ones who benefit from it.
Think so. And I think Royal Caribbean is knowing their market with that tween and teen family. Or the kids of that age group, and I could really see families and so many things that families can do together. You know, it's not like you're just dropping the kids off over here and they're doing that and you're doing this.
Well, it's also like on sea day. It's not the pool right. Or the casino or something like that. It sounds like there's more to do.
Let's be honest, less and less is cruising becoming the itinerary.
Right.
And on these big ships, the itinerary is not the draw
right. Because
there's only so many places they can take them. It's really about this ship that is just this floor. It's a floating resort. It's
Do you
like
see the teen areas. Did you get a chance to think
they were all being media.
Used for media.
Yeah, and so it was really hard to see a lot of that. The little bit I saw, it looked very similar to what we've seen in other areas. They also had a whole section near the pool deck where they had vending machines for things that you would need on a daily, like sunscreen and Tylenol and things like that. Or they had another one that was like grooming stuff, which I thought was fantastic until I realized that it wasn't open when the ship was in port. To me, the benefits of that is, oh, I forgot something.
And the store is closed.
And the store is closed. Yeah. Here are these vending machines. But so that was cool. I just keep trying to think of what else.
It does seem weird that it wouldn't be open when you needed it.
Right.
But it has to do with
and
the
again,
tax.
And again, it's back and to the deals that they have with ports and the rules about all of that. Cool. So overall, I would say I was pleasantly surprised to realize that there is something new and different here. I kind of was, you know, up until the point of as things were coming out, we were starting to read about it. We were starting to get excited as it was coming.
Right. The Allure and the Oasis are very close.
Very.
And except for minor things like restaurants and stuff like that, they could be the same ship. It's cool that this has different
stuff. I remember on this ship, there was two flow riders. And I thought that was new.
No.
The other one has two as well.
Correct.
They were on opposite, opposite corners. And I thought, so that was neat. It seemed somebody had said that they were, whatever they had done, they were able to move more people through. They made some subtle changes on the slides, the Big Abyss. They've made some subtle changes apparently on how that works.
Did this have a slide on the boardwalk?
Yeah, that's weird. Like the giant fish?
Yeah. The Abyss, I think they're calling that, aren't they?
Did they have that bubble that lifts you up out and sticks you out of the
side? No, that's the Anthem class. Yeah.
So I knew we were going to talk about this. I pulled up some sample pricing. So what I did was there's a discount going on now. Buy one, get one 60%, get shipboard credit, supposedly ending at the end of February. So I looked for a sailing past that to sort of not do a discount price. So I found March 9th of 2019. It's a 7-night Western in an ocean view balcony stateroom. Your typical stateroom, probably most families would get. Two adults, $4,600 about, compared to Disney, $5,800 for the same size stateroom, the same basic stateroom. Two adults, two children, 10 and 9, on the Symphony of the Seas, $5,800 about, rounding up. Disney, $7,300. So this is a fairly decent price difference that you can see on this ship. So if this is something you're interested in and you are priced, Disney has priced you out of the market, this is something you should be looking at.
Yeah.
And I realize this is Miami, but there are ships out of Port Canaveral that are just as easy as the Dream and the Fantasy to get on.
Yeah.
And Miami's not that far from Central Florida. So somebody to consider for, you know, possibly a cruise when you're thinking about a cruise and you can't do Disney anymore.
Right. And Symphony is pricing higher because it's new and shiny. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think $4,600 was bad.
Yeah. And if you looked, the Harmony, I notice now that the Symphony is out, the pricing is starting to drop on the Harmony a little bit. Obviously, the Oasis and the Allure because everybody wants what's new.
The new one, right.
But, you know, they're still with the, in that class of ship.
And as I mentioned, I looked for Kevin and I for a suite, and it was many months into 2019 before I could see one. And the price of the suite that we usually get was much more than we usually pay. So we made a decision. We're just going to wait until things sort of flatten out and even out.
Yeah.
I have a Royal Caribbean thing that I just read. Royal Caribbean has announced that in May of 2020, the Oasis will be sailing will have Bayonne, New Jersey as its home.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I don't know what would be coming.
Was happening was there's been a lot of talk because they're talking about moving the Anthem out of there, and people were like, well, what are you giving us? So having the Oasis out of New Jersey will be a nice.
I wonder what they'll put in Port Canaveral.
Probably the Allure, the Harmony. They'll keep two in Miami, move one to Port Canaveral, and then have the, and I think there's another one coming. Isn't there another one coming after the Symphony? So I still think they'll keep one of the Oasis class ships in Port Canaveral.
I'm under the impression that the Nyx one is going to be a Quantum class, but I could be wrong.
Might be. Yeah, you could be right on that.
I'm not sure.
One thing to mention as well is that we're just getting word, and it was hinted on during our question and answer session, that Royal Caribbean is no longer having a relationship with
DreamWorks. Yeah. That was kind of
that was announced.
That was announced and sent out in an announcement. Yeah. So no more DreamWorks characters. I think that was one of those things that was nice to have on a cruise.
Right.
And sometimes
I don't think that was anybody's reason for cruising.
No one booked a cruise for Kung Fu Panda.
Right. No. But it was one of those things when people saw Shrek.
Right.
Or Mrs. Shrek.
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
Lady Shrek. Mrs. Shrek.
That they were, you know, excited to see her, but it wasn't a draw for the ship. But maybe they'll do something else.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what they'll do. Tracy, thank you for, again, taking one for the team and going on the symphony.
This was a tough one.
You really made me excited to get on this.
I am too. I'm really excited to see
To get back on it.
I like that we sent Tracy out as kind of like the lead, you know, the pre-Sherpa.
Right.
Go and check this out, and if this stinks, we won't do it.
Yeah.
Because now she's
the person who tests the king's food.
Exactly. The food taster. That's a better analogy. You know, because that's what you helped us with, picking celebrity, and now we're going to pick
Symphony. And you were right there, so we trust you a little bit.
I know. I'm getting there. I'm starting to get trust now.
Earn our trust. So again, thank you, Tracy, for that. I really appreciate the work you put into it. Thank you, everybody at home, for listening and watching. We hope you have a great week, and we hope you have a great vacation.